to win. You ready? Let's make that change. Forget it. You never will be the same. You got to focus. Hard to align with a Christ like mine. Okay. Never rewind. For the prize. Gotta be focused.
Hello and welcome to Focus with Angela Duncan, where we focus on growing deeper in our walks with the Lord by focusing on God's love, God's heart, and the truth of His Word. I'm your host, Angela Duncan. Thank you to all our listeners who tune in each week on Fishbowl Radio Network, the number one internet radio station. Broadcasting live from Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, here are our top 10 countries tuning in to Focused. United States, Canada, Mexico, United Kingdom, Germany, Philippines, Argentina, Japan, Ethiopia, and India. Huge shout out to those countries and thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. You can find me on Facebook under the group name Focus with Angela Duncan or on podcast under Focus with Angela Duncan as well. Please go and subscribe. Our goal at Focus is to uplift, encourage, and inspire you by providing you with Christ-centered content that is authentic, informative, and relevant. Well, guys, I'm so excited about today's show. Joining me in the studio today is Dr. Tanya McGill. She is a pastor, an author, and the founder of, is it She 3 Foundation?
Yes.
Yes. And she recently released a book entitled Woman on the Move, A Woman's Guide to Navigating Through Life's Transitions, which we are going to talk about today. She's a certified biblical life coach as well. And Dr. Tanya McGill is passionate about encouraging and equipping women. Please welcome Dr. Tanya McGill to the show.
Hi, Angela.
How are you? I'm always like, I should have a brum, bum, bum. I don't have anything, so I just have to say welcome.
I caught it in the spirit.
Hey, there you go. How are you?
I am so well. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited you're here. Okay, hold on. Some kind of noise. Let me make sure that this is, well, I have people that always tune in and listen and make sure that our stuff is going good. All right. So with that said, I'm good, and I'm so glad you are here. I just wanted to make sure that the sound is okay, and apparently we're good.
All right.
Yes. So you and your husband pastor a church.
Yes.
All right. You recently founded a nonprofit.
Yes.
You just recently released your first book.
Yes.
Whew. You're wearing a lot of hats, woman.
Yes.
Have you always known you were called to ministry?
Not at all.
Not at all. That was not the plan, correct?
That was not the plan.
I don't think it ever is. Many are the plans of a man's heart,
right?
But right. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So let's talk about that. When did you, let's talk about you going into ministry. That was not your plan.
No, not my plan at all. So my husband actually got the call from the Lord mm-hmm. to pastor. Mm-hmm. And at that time, my focus was just to help him.
Yeah.
I just wanted to help him do what God called him to do.
Amen.
I asked him first. I said, make sure it's God. And if it's God, then I'm on board. And so I just began to help him in doing whatever it is he needed me to help do. But then in the midst of that, the Lord began to speak to me about things that he wanted me to do in ministry. Mm-hmm. And I remember at that time, my children were very small. And the Lord told me I can be a little hard on myself at times. And so the Lord told me, he said, I'm calling you into ministry, but the fullness of what I'm going to do in your life will not manifest until your children are older. And at that time, I had like a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and I was pregnant, or maybe 4, and then I was pregnant. And so that kind of gave me some peace.
Yeah.
Because I remember what God said to me then. And so maybe about a year into the ministry is when I really stepped into my call to preach the gospel.
Sure.
And grew up in a missionary Baptist church, mm-hmm. didn't see a lot of women pastors or uh-huh. preachers. So that was all foreign to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I knew the voice of God and my husband confirmed it. And so that's how I stepped into ministry.
I love it. And you said your husband confirmed it. Something
yes.
that you just said that I think is so important is you said the Lord showed you that it was going to manifest. You were going to do these dynamic things for him, but it was going to be once that season of them being small was over.
Yes.
I think it's so important that women especially understand seasons.
Yes. Yes.
I learned that. Someone had to explain that to me and really break that down to me, mm-hmm. because I went from a season of being single and being in ministry, if you will, and, you know, leading, doing things in the church.
Right.
And so, of course, I'm single. I don't have any kids. I can be up there all the time.
All the time.
Once I started, once I got married and I had kids, I'm in a different season.
Totally.
I can't be. And I had gotten kind of used to that.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, I got to be up there every time the door's open.
Babies are like, we're hungry.
Where are you going?
Where are you going, mama?
I'm tired and I'm wore out and all that kind of stuff. So thank you for saying that. The season is so important. And just because you can't give to your church during that season or be up there all the time or do the things in the Lord, everything, there is a season and there's a time. And God still sees you. God still knows what you're called to do originally from the foundation. And so it's not that you're not going to have that happen. But it's in season. And I think that just takes a lot of the pressure off.
Totally. Because you can be purposeful. You can be purposeful in that season.
Come on.
Just be a faithful person who prays. Just be a faithful person who supports your ministry. Just be a faithful person who lifts up your ministry.
So good.
Like, there are so many things that you can still do without having to physically be at the church 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
So good. So good. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Give me just a second. Mm-hmm. All right. You're absolutely right. Like you said, you can still do what you're supposed to do and still be of God.
Yes,
and
of
I
God.
Think it just, like I said, it takes that pressure off for women because we wear so many hats.
Absolutely.
We do so many things.
And you know, the other thing too about seasons, your season may be different than someone else's season. So don't try to compare your season with someone else's season.
Come on.
And I think that's what puts so much pressure on a lot of us right now as women. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the 30-second clip on Instagram of someone else and what they're doing. And we feel like we're not doing enough for God, or we're not doing it well enough. You don't know their season. You don't know what they've gone through. You don't know where they are. You don't know the state of their marriage. You don't know the state of their finances. You don't know the state of anything. But the enemy will try to make us feel like we're less than and we're not enough. And so we have to learn to embrace our season and embrace our calling and embrace our assignment and embrace our gifts and embrace our purpose.
So good.
That's what's going to bring God glory and take stress off of us.
Somebody says, speak, sister.
Yes.
I've got the... For those of you that may be tuning in for the first time, we do a live podcast, and we also do a live on Facebook. And so I can see people's comments. They like, speak, sister. But you're absolutely right. And I think that is so important for women.
Yes.
We are the ones that are all, I mean, I know men do it too, but for some reason, women.
We're carriers.
There you go. Mm-hmm. We get caught up in that so much. And I love the fact that you said, hey, okay. So let me just say this. Our Father, we're all God's children. We are daughters of the King.
Yes.
It's like with your own children.
Yes.
You love all three of them.
Yes.
But your relationship with them is
it's
unique
different.
And different depending
Absolutely.
On who they are.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing with us. And
Absolutely.
So what you're called to do and what you do well, I may not, and it's okay.
It's okay.
You find your place, you find your spot, and allow the Lord to just grow you there.
Amen.
So good.
Amen.
So you said you're passionate about encouraging women and equipping women, and I can tell.
Yes.
I was just thinking when I was coming up with the question, you know, something I've noticed is this new trend towards women doing it on their own, being a boss, being a boss this and a boss that, and I don't need nobody. I'm a boss. I got this. I got that. I don't need anyone. And I just think that is such a humanistic view, and as a believer, we have to be careful not to take on
in
our own strength.
Yes.
When ministering to women, because you have to make that balance between being empowered, but also being empowered in Christ. How do you differentiate that? How is your I guess what I'm trying to say, message different whenever you minister to women versus maybe like somebody else is just like a motivational speaker.
Part of what my heart is always to do is to connect with people.
Amen.
Like, I don't believe there's a cookie cutter method.
True story.
To ministering to women, because we are all so individual.
So true.
And we all have so many purposes, and we all have so many likes mm-hmm. and so many dislikes. Mm-hmm. So I'm always, when I have a one-on-one opportunity, I want to always hear her heart.
So good.
What is she passionate about? Mm-hmm. What does she feel called to do?
Yeah.
And then encourage her in that yeah. from that moment. So I'm always wanting to have a conversation mm-hmm. with people. I don't like to preach at people. I like to have a conversation with mm-hmm. them, because mm-hmm. then their hearts are open to receive.
Yes.
And so, and I'm big on teaching women, wait on your season. I don't know why that keeps coming up. So the Lord has allowed me yeah. to speak into a lot of young women, like 20
yes.
something year olds
yes.
who have great calling, great purpose, great vision, but they have 2 year olds at home. And so I'm always telling them, you can have it all, not at the same time.
Come on, sis.
So you
Say
can have
that.
It all. You can
Say
do it
that.
All. You can be it all, but not at the same time.
Yes.
And so don't become anxious mm-hmm. that you can't be 5 days on the road because you have a 2 year old.
Come on.
Your baby's only going to be two
oh my
at one time.
Oh my
and right
gosh.
Now, my baby's 21.
Yeah.
So I'm actually stepping into some new seasons now.
Because you can.
Because I can.
You can.
And I've laid the foundation with my children. Now I'm in the passenger seat with them. I'm no longer driving them.
So good.
I'm sitting beside them in the passenger seat. I'm still a part of their life.
So good.
But they're following God's plan for their own life.
So good.
And so we have to learn how to embrace where we are. Celebrate where we are,
yes.
maximize where we are, and not look forward too far. And the Lord told me this. He says, be present. He said, look forward, but be present.
So good.
Because sometimes we can be looking so forward that we're not present. We miss the moment. And I'm so glad that I was in my kids' life. I never wanted a nanny to
yes.
tell me about their first.
Ooh.
I never wanted someone yes. to send me video about my son's touchdowns. I wanted to be in the stands. I wanted to be present. And so that is what I've lived. And mm-hmm. that's what I try to impart into others. Mm-hmm. Relax. God's plan, God's calling is not going to go away.
Yes.
It will be there.
I love what you said. Someone said this. We had a recent women's conference at our women's gathering at my church. And someone talked about that too. They were like, it's not that you don't need to go back to school, for example,
mm-hmm.
but if you have a 2 or you're old yeah. at home or 4 years, this might not be the season for you to go back to school.
It may
you're
not
stressed.
Be. Yeah.
You're stressed. Your kids are stressed. and then you're wondering, why is this not working? What
right.
is going on? Because this might not be the season for you to do that.
And it's
you know?
Okay.
And it's okay.
It's okay. And it's still, you can still be a boss. You can still be like all of those things. And, mm-hmm. you know, back to white women wanting to do it on our own. There's mm-hmm. a reason that the Bible says we are the body of Christ. The body is made up of different organs.
Come on.
And when each organ functions, the body functions.
Come on.
So we cannot be, our heart does not function well outside of our body. It functions together.
So good.
And so, you know, I saw this quote. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Oh, that's good.
So we are going fast by ourselves, but there's wisdom.
Come
there's encouragement.
On.
There's strength that comes when we are in community. And we have to learn how to be okay being in community.
Yes.
It doesn't
so
mean
true.
I'm weak. It means I'm strong. Vulnerability is about strength. It's not about weakness.
It is.
And we need one another.
We
like,
need.
I am so grateful that I have my community of
I'm
women who encourage me, who walk with me,
you.
Who support me, who let me know I'm not crazy, who give me a safe
yes,
place
Lord.
To vent when I have
yes,
to vent
yes.
and say, okay, now let's
yes.
go back. Let's go back to what the word
mm-hmm,
says.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we need to get it out.
Yeah.
And so we don't need to be isolated. We need to be in community. The enemy wants to isolate
he
us.
He wants to isolate us.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that on Kim's show. We were saying how important it is that you have people.
You have to have people.
When you're isolated, that is when he spews those lies.
Yes, and you believe them.
And you believe them because
mm-hmm.
you don't have anybody helping you counteract that.
Nobody
Especially
counteracting.
Especially if you're not leaning on the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
I mean, and you're not in your right mind.
Exactly.
There, you've got to have people that say, hey, sis, that's not true.
That's
hey,
not
sis,
true.
This is just a season.
You're good.
Hey, sis, you're good.
You're good.
Yes.
Yes.
Pray with you.
Yes.
All of those things. And I wish... I'm so grateful that you have that understanding and that that's something that you teach because I feel like... women are taught to sometimes pit, and you know, there's room for everybody.
Please.
At the table.
No, nobody can be me but me.
Jesus created, the Lord created us uniquely.
Yes, there is, for a reason.
For a reason.
Yes, yes.
The kingdom is so vast.
Right.
And it's like, let your sister win. Let your brother win, because it doesn't matter. He's called to do what he's called to do. She's called. Let him win.
And really, when we can celebrate other people,
I'm trying to tell you.
That shows a level of understanding of being a believer.
It really does.
It really does. It's maturity.
It's maturity. You. I was just going to say, that is maturity. I know when I've grown in Christ.
Yes.
When I'm really growing, not by what I'm doing on the outside.
Exactly.
But by what's
happening
going
inside.
On the inside.
That's right.
When I'm no longer quick to side
eye
someone.
She is. Yes.
Stay quiet.
Right.
When I know I could pop off.
Exactly.
Or I could say this or whatever, you know, and have that character that's growing on the inside. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people realize the character of Christ growing in those quiet times. Mm-hmm. That's true growth.
That's true growth.
We can look all out here and people don't realize, man,
look,
the houses, the cars, that is not,
it's
you
nothing.
Can get those things, but that mm-hmm. is not showing growth.
Mm-mm.
That inner mm-hmm. refiner's fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you got to be quiet when you want to say
when you
something.
Wanna say, and you can say something.
And you can.
Yes.
And you could be justified in
yes.
it.
Yes. But you choose
but
not
you choose
to.
Choose not to, because the Lord is like, nope, give him grace. Or
be
don't
quiet.
Say that. Be quiet.
Be quiet.
I'm working on you.
Yes. I'm working on you.
Woo!
Why did you see that? Why were you looking for that?
That part.
Yes.
Why did you see that, and why were you looking
That's
for that?
That's right. Yeah. What's in your heart that would make you
come on.
Point that out in someone else?
Come,
yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Go sit down and grow.
Let that fire hit
come
you.
Come on. Let it hit
oh,
you.
Baby, when he shows you you, which
yes.
he will, if you stop
always.
For long enough, he always shows you you. And
yeah.
you realize, man, even when I think that I'm on the mountaintop or I think that there's always so much more growth.
Always.
There's always so much more
always.
Work to do. And I thank God that he loves us enough.
Yes. Yes. To perfect us.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your book.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to go through some things. Why do you feel the Lord had you write this? It's called Woman on the Move, and it's navigating through mm-hmm. life's transitions. I love it.
I have been spending time with women mm-hmm. in different phases, 20-something year olds,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
30, I mean, just different ages.
Yeah.
And I found that we have more in common than not. And when I would meet with people one-on-one, they would feel as though their situation was so unique that God couldn't or wouldn't move.
Yeah.
And so I was just sitting down, and I'm a huge learner. I love to mm-hmm. learn. I love resources. So it'd been in my heart for a long time to write a book. I just wasn't sure what was
yeah.
the first book.
Right.
And so the Lord began to speak to me about that, about appreciating those seasons and knowing how to navigate from one season to the next. And really how to care for yourself, because I was not healthy
yeah.
caring for myself
mm-hmm.
in my
mm-hmm.
early 20s. I did not know how to care for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a badge of honor to not sleep. I thought it was a badge of honor to be busy all day, every day.
Wow.
I thought that I was just being successful, not realizing I was burning myself out.
Mm.
And so I wanted to just coach women. And I wrote the book in such a way that I was not trying to teach them necessarily. I was trying to reach their heart.
Mm.
Because if I could reach your heart, then I can teach you something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want to write a theological dissertation.
Yeah.
I just wanted to have a conversation as if we were sitting at Starbucks.
Yeah.
As if we were sitting at our favorite place and we're just talking one-on-one.
So
and so that was my intention. And I hope that it would find the hands of people who needed some encouragement, who needed
Absolutely.
Someone to say, hey, it's okay to not
mm-hmm.
be okay.
Mm-hmm.
That, okay, I know this is how you feel, but this is what the word says. So let's move from our feelings into faith. Let's move from
mm-hmm.
what we're experiencing, moving from our past, and let's go into what God has for us.
So
that was the intention.
So good. Something you keep saying that keeps resonating with me is you're talking about the fact that sitting down, having a conversation,
mm-hmm.
being relational.
Yeah.
People don't, I think we don't always realize how relational Jesus was.
Absolutely.
We think, oh, we just bark at people and
yeah.
we just tell them.
They better know.
They better know.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Jesus
yeah.
said. That is such a disservice to our Lord and Savior, because
yes.
he was so relational.
Yes.
And that's why I think sometimes when we've lost that touch with the world, because
yeah.
we've become so just preachy, and not saying that the word of God is not important.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But you've got to know people. You've got to love their heart. You've got to know their heart before you can touch. And so you saying how important it is to relation, I tell people this all the time. You'll know when you're growing, even in Christ, when you're able to, like I said, to have relationship mm-hmm. with people and mm-hmm. to not be so quick to judge.
Yeah.
And, you know, to look at people the way, through the lens of Christ.
Through the lens of Christ.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's it.
And I love that you keep saying that.
Yeah.
Because that is part of even being a pastor. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're going to be a pastor, you got to be able to handle people.
You got to like sheep.
You got to like the sheep. How are you going to be a shepherd?
And hey, I found out sheep bite.
They bite.
And
they have
still
fleas.
Love them.
They got ticks. They got me. You know, we come. We dirty. We go the wrong way. You know?
But it really is a calling.
It is.
And when God calls you to something, he gives you what you need to fulfill the calling.
Mm.
And so the Lord gives you the heart to love
mm-hmm.
and to love people in long suffering and not just love them when they do well, not just
mm-hmm.
love them when they love you. But being a pastor or being a person who ministers to others, I have to love you despite how you treat me.
Yeah.
Like
Ooh,
real love.
Jesus.
You
real
know,
love.
Not the feed me from a long-handled spoon love.
Real love.
But the real love.
Well, I know you've been through some refining.
Come on now.
I know you've been through some fire. Because that right there is just that alone.
Yeah.
That's just good for even for marriage.
For
any relations.
Parenting.
Just to love.
Girlfriends.
Wow.
You know, it's a part of it. Any relationship, there's an opportunity to be hurt.
Mm.
Because we are imperfect people. And we're going to, not intentionally all the time, but sometimes we're going to hurt feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to be willing to love that person again, to give them the opportunity to love you again,
so good.
To not put a fence up around your heart,
good.
But to let your heart be open.
So good.
But we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
I mean, truly.
It's truly
only by the power of the Holy
Spirit
that kind of love you can do.
That kind of love.
Yeah,
and it may take time. It does
take time.
And it doesn't mean it's going to be overnight. I know some people that felt like they've gotten healed from things like, you know, the Lord has lifted a burden or lifted something.
Yeah.
But typically, true
Yes.
relational hurt and things like that. It does.
It's layers.
It's layers.
Deliverance
is layers.
It's layers.
So good.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
It was something you said so good. Let me stay there for just a minute. You were saying, I think that's important to, because you're a pastor and you know this, and I feel like people are like, oh, church hurt, and I go to churches and I'm not going to church because this people and they... Yeah, it's full of people that the church is a hospital. It's full of people that are imperfect.
Yeah.
That's one of the things you said.
Yes.
And I think that to forsake the assembling of yourself because of that, the Bible tells us to go.
Yes.
He tells us to be around each other.
Yes.
And so, yes, I'm imperfect. I'm coming.
Because
I'm sick. I need help.
I need help.
We need that encouragement. We need to be around each other.
Yeah.
There have been times when I've gone to church and I just wasn't feeling it one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go and somebody will just say something. Mm-hmm. They'll hug me. Mm-hmm. They'll do something. And I'm like, I feel better.
Yeah.
Or, oh my gosh, that lifted,
you
know, that burden. Or I just, you know,
so
I just wanted to put that. That ain't even on our notes. But
and
that's
you know
something.
The thing about mm-hmm. church hurt that just hurts me?
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that the Lord came to heal the brokenhearted.
Yes.
So every time our heart is broken,
mm-hmm.
Jesus promises to heal it. So when we decide we don't want to be healed,
mm-hmm.
we're missing something that he came to give us. And so what that really says to me is we're not living by faith.
Hmm.
Because we live according to our faith.
That's true.
And our faith says, when my heart is broken, I don't want it broken.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this pain. I don't want to go through this. But that does not give me a pass from still living like Jesus.
Woo.
From still following my purpose, from still embracing my assignment. And so for the people who are experiencing church hurt, I want to encourage them,
mm-hmm.
let the healer of the brokenhearted heal your heart.
On.
Stop being stuck.
Move
from being hurt to healed.
Ooh.
Because that's what Jesus came to do. And he will do it if you submit to it. Now, if you want to be stubborn about it and just complain about it, you can do that too. But for those people who, and I know people have been genuinely hurt. I've been hurt in church. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
As a pastor, I've been hurt in church.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't say, Lord, I'm not going to pastor anymore
mm-hmm.
because I've been hurt. Because
mm-hmm.
I hear the Lord says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your heart. I will heal it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just fake heal it, I will really heal it so that you can go back and love again.
Yeah.
So you can go back and serve again.
Yes.
And God is faithful to do
he
it.
Is so faithful.
And my faith has grown as a result of that.
Isn't that awesome?
I've grown in the Lord.
He uses everything for our good.
Yes.
He uses
yes.
everything, the
yes.
trials, the tribulations, the testing of our faith for our good.
Amen.
I love it.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my goodness. We just all over the place. We ain't even on our notes, but
that's
man,
okay.
Look,
we following the Holy Spirit.
Ghost will tell us what we need to talk
Amen.
About.
Amen.
So back to, I feel like a huge struggle for many women is finding their identity and significance in Christ.
Yes.
And you kind of touched on this a little bit, the world, TV, social media, you go on mm-hmm. social media, you know, everybody's so perfect. Mm-hmm. Everybody's so this, mm-hmm. you know, they try
with their filters.
Us, yeah. The filters who we should, I be telling people all the time that pretty, thing I got on the back of my book filter.
Right, right.
That's a headshot.
Right,
you know?
Right. And thank God for it.
Thank God for it, because I use it.
I
but,
know, that's right.
You know, the world, TV, social media, you know, all of those things is constantly telling women who we should be.
Yeah.
What we should look like. All of those things. I mean, I said, and oh, if you're not married by a certain age, I mean,
yes.
you are just.
Something's wrong with you.
Right. What is wrong? Why can't you, you know?
Right.
Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Do you see that identity in Christ?
Absolutely.
Is, you know, that's one of the things that's like
we're getting our identity from what we do.
Come on.
We're getting our identity from what we drive.
Mm.
We're getting our identity from whether we're married or unmarried. We're getting our identity from everything but the one thing that matters, right? And
yes.
that is from our Creator.
Mm.
You cannot get your identity from someone who didn't create you
oh.
because they don't know what your
oh.
purpose was.
Yes.
God is the only one who knows why
yes.
he sent us into
yes.
the earth.
Yes.
So my focus has to be time spent with him.
Mm.
And there is no substitution.
Really
and that's
isn't.
Part of our problem is that we want
yes.
God to give it to us in our time,
Ooh.
Our way. Quickly, we don't want to tarry for it.
Oh
we don't
gosh.
Want to pray through it.
Oh
we don't want
gosh.
To walk through it.
Yes.
We want to read the Cliff Notes version. And that's what we want to hide in our hearts so that we can be confident in our knowledge. But the Bible says that the just must live by faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the
mm-hmm.
evidence of things not seen. But I'm hoping for what God is saying to me
mm-hmm.
to manifest in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the challenge is you have to get in the face of God to get your identity.
Ooh, Dr. McGill.
And he will tell
on.
You who you are when you spend time with him. And spending time means spending time.
Spending time means spending time. She said we want the Cliff Notes version.
There is no Cliff Notes version.
Oh my gosh.
You have to spend time, and there is no rushing God.
Yes.
There is no telling God, okay,
yes.
it's January. We're all on these fasts.
Yes.
We all want
yes.
to know, God, what do you have for 2022? God may not tell you
Ooh.
Because he don't want you to just spend time with him for 21 days. He wants you for 365 days. If he tells you all in 21 days,
oh,
how much will you spend time with him
hey.
Beyond?
This board is lit up. I am getting my life today. I'm getting my love in Jesus. You are just, woo, come on. Somebody said facts. It's so good. I love that. I love that. When you said we want to do it on our own terms.
Yes.
Our own way. Own time.
Yes. The
guilty,
easy path,
the
too.
The easy path. Oh, my God.
I don't want any pain.
No.
No pain.
And the Lord
no.
has really been dealing with me about that because, you know, sometimes my life just, if I could be transparent for a minute. My life just, some people that have had a difficult life or you're used to the struggle,
yeah.
when you're used to that walk.
Gotcha.
Then you're a little bit more, it's disciplined when it comes to things. But if you've had it easy and things just kind of, then when the stuff gets hard,
oh.
you want to be, there you go.
What has happened? Yeah.
So that has been something the Lord has had to teach me
yeah.
is that you can't just jump off the wheel, the potter's wheel, every time it gets hard.
And it's going to get
and
hard.
And it's going to get difficult if
it's
you're called
get hard.
To ministry. If you're
yeah.
called, just as a
Anything.
Believer.
Anything. If you're called if you're called as a believer
as a
in
believer
this time.
In
yes.
this time. And
yes.
we are all here for such a time as
for
this.
For such
there's
a time
a
as
reason
this.
We're, our kids are born now.
Yeah.
For such
a,
there's a
yeah.
reason he put
there's
us here.
There's a
not
reason.
In the 50s
That's
or
right.
the 40s.
That's
and
right.
So, the Lord's like, stop jumping off that potter's wheel, because the minute it gets hard, because you're used to everything being handed to you easy and all that stuff, now you got to learn.
Yeah.
And so you are absolutely right.
And you know, for me, I wrote about it in the book. I thought my education qualified me
Come
for
on.
Everything good.
Yeah.
So I was all about education, straight A student, went to college, graduated, magna cum laude, like all of these things.
That identity.
That identity. My identity was in other things. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, when you work for a company, I worked for a company, Sabre Group, after 9/11, you know what happened? The airline industry went down. That was an airline industry company. It wasn't about my performance. It wasn't about what I didn't do. It was a storm that God allowed me to go through. You know why? So that he could teach me. He is my source. I thought IBM was my source.
Come on.
I thought my children were going to go to college based on IBM.
Couldn't clutch on to that anymore.
And when I had that, God taught me truly daily bread. Like, you, I wanted to store it up, put it in the cabinet, go and get it out the cabinet when I needed it. I'm not trying to go to the grocery store every day. I wanted to have it. And the Lord taught me faithfully. Day by day, I will be your provider.
So good.
Now, that might not be everybody's story. Right? I'm saying what my story is. I needed to know that because my mind was so on other things. That it was your performance plan. It was your education. It was who you knew. It was all of these things. And the Lord said, none of that is success.
None of
that. What success is what I say is success. And what success for you is, you're going to be a preacher. What? Lord, I don't even know people that are full-time ministry. Like, okay, you know, you think you had a little status and you're like, what? I got to tell people I'm a full-time preacher? Oh my goodness, Lord. What is this about?
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, Dr. McGill, I just have to say this. The thing is lit up. Somebody said, first of all, I need her on every Tuesday. They're trying to give you my job, Dr. McGill.
No.
And then someone said, several people said, oh, she is so much like you, Angela. And then somebody else said, y'all are so much alike. And I feel like we have such a kindred spirit.
That's why I'm here.
When I saw your book, I told my pastor, I said, I feel like she wrote the book. Like we wrote similar books.
Amen.
I love
isn't that God's timing?
But it's so God because
isn't
the
it
same
God?
Holy Spirit
same
is speaking
Holy
to you.
Spirit.
We should be saying
we
the same
thing. We should
things.
Be saying the same
if
thing.
If we're saying something totally
somebody's off.
I'm side on you or me.
And somebody don't know Jesus, right?
She said that Kim was like, y'all are going to love each other and y'all are going to get on here and start preaching.
Yes.
Several people was like, please don't take a break. Several people were saying, they were like, oh my gosh, you reminds me so much of you. Somebody said, you need to be here every week.
Oh.
So even though you wrote the book, I said this,
yes.
I said, when I wrote the book, God would minister to me as I was writing.
Yes.
Did you find that when you were writing
totally,
your book?
Totally.
And stay tuned because we're going to give her book away later on.
Yes.
So make sure you're listening. Make sure you're paying attention. We're going to give you Woman on the Move later on. I'm going to raffle one off. So be listening. What do you feel like God was? Because I feel like he probably talked to you through the whole thing.
Through
was there
the whole
a specific
thing.
Part that really just...
Yes. Specifically, it's okay to not be okay. Because I'm the daughter of two teachers, lifelong educators, and taught me intellect, taught me, and I thank God for my parents. I mean, they really instilled in me discipline and hard work and those things. Absolutely. But the way my mind worked... was I felt like if I wasn't okay, something was wrong. I felt like I had to always be on, had to always do everything right. And I'm the oldest of two.
Oh, that's another.
So I had all these pressures on me. Well, I'll say it this way. I put the pressure on myself because people can't make you feel a certain way. You have to own it. And so I owned the relationships and the expectation of other people. And I'll be honest with you. It wasn't until I got into ministry that this broke.
Wow.
Because I did not. I tried to be perfect. And do you know in ministry, even on your perfect day, somebody still got an issue?
You better say that.
So
that's so good.
I'm like, what do you mean? I'm wearing the first lady suits.
Oh,
I'm wearing like I'm doing the first lady stuff. This is not good enough. And it was total bondage because I was trying to be instead of just being. And so it was when I began to be that I began to walk in freedom. And I began to discover really who I was. And I went to a therapist. Mm-hmm. I spent some time talking with someone because I could not get past it.
Yes.
I was praying. I was fasting. But there were so many mind issues that had just been stuck. And I needed to really sit with someone. And it was okay to not
to
be okay.
God is, yeah.
And it totally set me free.
Wow.
And it caused me to embrace new mindsets. Mm-hmm. It caused me to embrace new ideas. And it really allowed me to be okay acknowledging my weaknesses.
Because that's when his strength comes up.
Isn't that what the word says?
That's when
I quoted that scripture.
Oh, yeah. But we don't always believe it.
No. I'm not going to tell anybody.
Yeah.
Because what are they going to think about me?
True freedom.
And so that's when it's okay not to be okay. So that's my mantra right now. Mm-hmm. It's okay not to be okay. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to say you're not okay. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. it's not okay to stay there.
That's what I was just saying.
Yes.
We need to clarify.
Yes,
let's
it's not okay
there.
To stay there.
Yes.
At some point, you got to move forward. And that's what the book talks about. Woman on the move.
So
we
good.
Have to move. But we have to acknowledge where we are before we can move.
Really and truly
move
authentically.
Authentically.
Because
yes.
I think we do so much moving and so much faking, and it's not authentic.
It's not real.
That's why I love this podcast, because I say
yes.
it at the beginning. It's
yes.
authentic, relevant,
yes.
and informative, because I want it to be authentic.
Yes.
I don't want us on here lying. I don't want us on here.
Because that won't help anybody.
It doesn't. Mm-mm. And we can put on that frame and that face and act like everything's okay in the body of Christ, and I'm good, and I'm highly favored.
Especially
and
in church.
Oh, God. I'd be like, you know what? You know what? And it's like, if you say you're not okay, you're not walking
you're
in
not
faith.
In faith. Yes.
And I'm like, you know, there is a... Anyways, we
yeah.
could, that's a whole nother
that's
show.
That's a whole nother show,
come
girl.
Back and do.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, it's okay to acknowledge
it
you're
is
not
okay.
okay.
It's okay.
But we don't stay
we
there.
We don't stay
because
there.
Because the word is so much more powerful
so much
than
more
our feelings.
And you get the help you need.
But you
whatever
get the help
that
you need.
Is.
I actually said that. I said whatever. Yeah, because sometimes you need to talk to someone that has been equipped
yes.
to
and
deal
trained.
With it and trained. There mm-hmm. are people that mm-hmm. are gone to school for this.
I mean, come on.
So why are we going to just act like, you know, there are counselors in the body?
Hey, I recognize too, as a pastor, that's not my training. I am not trained in those. So I tell people, like, I'm happy to talk to you spiritually and I'm happy to coach you. But there are some times you might just need to go find someone else who has been trained
yes.
to help you.
Yes.
And so that is not, that's another thing too. That's a form of pride.
That part.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
part.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God dealt with me on that.
Yeah.
When you're trying to act like everything's okay.
Me too.
Pride. And I bet you that's a lot of pressure as a first lady and as a pastor's
yeah.
wife, you know, they just assume that everything's okay and you're no. We have, you know, I think that, you know, the potter's will for you and the refining fire is very, you know, you and then you're also praying for other people. You're
yes.
laying out your, you know,
yes.
so you can't always deal with your things, and it's so
right.
many different
yeah.
facets. And I don't mm-hmm. think people realize at the end of the day, before you're a pastor, you're a daughter.
Absolutely.
Before you're a pastor and a boss and all this stuff, you're just his child.
That's period.
And you have to crawl up into the Father's arms just like everybody
and
else
you know
does.
What? If that's not enough for you,
come on.
You'll never find fulfillment. So that okay. has just being a daughter has to
it.
Be
enough.
I mean, really, no position, no title, no boss, no
none.
Dad. Like, just being a daughter. You talk about identity.
Identity.
That's where it begins. It begins with being a daughter.
Just being a daughter.
Just being a daughter.
I love it.
Just being loved by the Father.
Isn't that awesome?
Just being known by the
Isn't
Father.
That awesome that he
is,
knows us?
That's it.
That's enough.
Me and my messed up mind sometimes.
Man.
Me and my messed up ways.
Man.
And he still loves me.
I love it.
That has to be enough.
That has to be enough.
That has to be enough.
And when I got, I'm telling you, and I'm with you, when I got to that point, and I still some days have to remind myself
Absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely.
But when I got to that point of really learning to rest in him.
That's it.
Gosh, it just makes such a difference.
You sleep better, right?
You sleep better. That I love
you. Smile
you.
More. You laugh
you know,
more.
Okay.
Yes.
And you stop trying. Like, I'm the talker by nature. I'm
me
friendly
too.
By nature.
Me too.
So people, yes, that's why I like you. And Kimberly said I was going to like
yes,
you. That's
yes.
why, because... And it's hard when that's not everybody's...
Reciprocated. Yeah.
Well, that's not everybody's personality.
Gifting.
Yeah, gifting.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
a people
We're
person.
We're gifted to
be people.
People.
Person.
Yeah.
And some people frown on that.
They
and
do.
I was told that I was too much.
Me
and I was
too.
Need to... Oh,
me
and it
too.
Used to, I'd try and shrink back.
Me
I can't
too.
Shrink back from who I'm called to be.
Cannot do it anymore.
And I can't, and I won't.
Can't do it. I won't.
I won't.
Why?
So,
He's
why?
Not calling me to.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's your problem, not mine. Yeah, I'm with you.
I love your section on success begins in the mind.
Yep. Yep.
That was so good. Y'all are going to love this book. I don't want to give too much away, but there was... You talked about your confession and your words and just as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, and how important the mind is. I really believe the enemy fights us so hard there.
Absolutely.
And we make it a silent battle. Like you said, we don't let people know, man, I am dealing. This, my mind is. And I love that part. Is there anything you want to add to that?
But
that
well, was really you know, good. That was, I never really had, I was a quote unquote good girl.
Yeah, me too.
So I was fear. I had a lot of fear of my parents, had a lot of fear of shaming them and doing things. So I did a lot of the right things, quote unquote. I'm saying quote unquote because you know we're not right.
Yes.
So
even in our right.
When you first get saved like that, you could feel like, oh, I ain't have no sins.
Golly.
You know, and it wasn't until the Lord began to show me. I didn't have a lot of public sins, but my mind was so jacked up that it was awful.
Hmm.
I was thinking terribly about myself, about situations.
Or even secret or sins.
Secret
that may not be affecting people that they don't know, but it's affecting
but
you.
But affecting me.
Come on.
And so I believe that
God's coming for that all of
was that. That was the most challenging thing. That's when I really grew in God the most, because I recognized that I had to deal with the way I thought, mindset. And it wasn't about just going to church on Sunday, hearing the word, and then saying, okay, that was good.
Uh-huh.
No, God told me I had to replace my thoughts.
Oh my gosh.
You know, that takes a long time. You know how many thoughts are in our head? So I had to replace, not lay over, but replace.
Ooh,
because if you just lay it over, that old thought is up under the new thought.
Ooh, that's good.
So God said, you need to make an exchange.
Yes.
Take this thought out, build in the new thought with what my word says. And that took me, and it's taken me a long time. And I wish I could say I'm there. I'm not there. I'm still growing in that area, but I'm excited because the Lord just totally flipped a lot of things that had just been inbred in me for a long time.
So good.
And so it began in my mind and the way I thought about things and the way I thought about how, because the way I thought would determine my response.
Jesus.
So we can only respond out of what we think. And so if we think wrong, we're going to respond wrong.
Oh my goodness.
And so my thinking had to be right so that my response would be right.
Yes.
And so those are the things that I want to encourage people to do. Take time to think about what you think about.
Yeah.
Don't just think anything. Mm-hmm. Don't just let your mind roam.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it back to the word. It's like changing the channel. On a TV, you have to, I change the channel all the time on my thoughts because I'm like, where that thought came from? Is that from God?
Can you speak on real quick? Because you're absolutely right. Can you talk as I'm thinking? I just feel like sometimes we think that's so hard and it's not an easy task.
It's not.
And I want, sometimes we go into that cognitive dissonance that this is too hard, so I'm just not going to do it.
Yes.
Little steps?
Little steps.
Is that what you suggest?
That's what I start. I mean, little steps. Like, that's how consistency is built.
Mm-hmm.
Small things over time.
Yeah.
And so just start with one area or one thought. Like, that's what I had to begin with years ago. The Lord taught me through a parking space. Like, I was believing God for a parking space. And that parking space was the foundation on how I built the rest of my thought process. And again, it goes back to time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time thing.
Thank you.
This is not an overnight thing.
Thank you.
I mean, when you go hear a word on Sunday, that's not the transformation time. The transformation time happens when you get home with that word.
That quiet time.
And you begin to meditate on that word. And you begin to ask God, how can I apply this to my life?
Oh, so good.
God, what are you saying to me? Not what you said to pastor. What are you saying to me?
You know what? That was such a good nugget. And I hope people heard that the Sunday is not your transformation time.
Nope.
It is the time.
That's the
to
hearing
get,
time,
the
equipping
hearing time,
time,
the equipping time,
yeah.
the encouraging time.
Yeah.
But you take that home
and work it,
and you have to take that word and get into your quiet time.
Yeah.
That's when God transforms. So,
yes.
So basically, what she's saying, y'all, is going to church and just hearing that and that being it for the week is not enough.
You won't see growth.
You will not see growth,
mm-mm.
And far too many of us like to do that.
Yeah, because it's easy.
Because it's easy. We just go in on Sunday and
check
boom,
it off.
Check it off and listen, and then we back home doing what we do Monday through. And,
but
and
we don't see the transformation.
We don't see the growth. We don't see the change. We don't see the transformation.
Yeah.
None of that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I hear you saying, Dr. McGill, is walking with Christ takes work.
takes W O R K on the daily.
On the daily.
Until we go to be with Jesus or daily. He comes to get us.
Daily.
That's how we working.
Daily, I die. I die daily. I die daily. I learn daily. Give us this day our daily bread.
Daily bread.
Woo. And that's the thing. When you like me and you scared of work.
Come on.
I be
like, where's the cliff notes for this?
I'm like, Jesus, you know your child. He has worked on me. And he's working on me because I'm telling you, that's been an issue. That's been something that I struggled with.
Hey, we are sisters, girl.
I'm sisters. Telling you, somebody said, how long you've known her? Y'all are so much alike. I was like, I just met her today.
Kindred spirits.
But kindred spirits. That's God knows you are my sister in Christ.
That's right. So we're going to get to know each other after this.
Amen. Because I like you.
Yes, I like you too.
Real quick, with the time we have left, let's talk about the She3 Foundation. Yes. Why did you start it? And if someone was interested in wanting to like come to any of your events or whatever, how could they do that?
I started it, my youngest child graduated high school in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I really felt like God was calling me to do some things outside of the church.
Good.
So I talked to my husband about, you know, me really wanting to do more with women, women who knew a lot of scripture, women who didn't know little scripture,
right.
Women who came to church, women who didn't go to church.
So
I just wanted a platform that I could connect with women to encourage, equip, and empower them. I wanted them to know who they are and wherever they were in their lives, how they could move forward. Really just, you know, a different platform to just coach them up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I founded the foundation. And so right now I'm looking to do some classes, some volunteer. I serve at Viola's house. I go there sometime and spend time with those young women. And I had a conference plan, but COVID won't let me be great right now.
Okay.
So I'm like rethinking when and how I'm going to do that. But they can go to She3Foundation.org. And then also we're on social media on Instagram and Facebook, She3 Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And as more plans are formed, we'll begin to share it there. And all of that is on the website and we'll be on social media.
Awesome. She3Foundation.org. I put it in the chat box and you can see that. You can go to it and that's so awesome. What's next for Dr. McGill? Anything else, Dr. Tanya, that's coming up?
You know, I'm asking the Lord.
Okay.
I mean,
that's how I feel.
Haven't we learned in the last year and a half? We don't control anything.
Not one thing.
So I'm just asking the Lord, whatever he's calling me to do, I just want to be obedient to that. I want to make an impact.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, really see women's lives better.
Oh, man.
I really want to see women being their best selves and being comfortable. And, you know, one of the things the Lord spoke to me about She3 is to really encourage women. Self-care is not selfish. Self-care is necessary. Because if you don't take care of yourself, how are you going to take care of other people?
Good.
So I'm all about encouraging women. Take care of yourself physically, mentally, spiritually and emotionally, the whole woman. And so we don't do that very well. And so I want to create forums and opportunities and platforms so that we place self-care as a value and not be ashamed of it. And I'm not talking about going to the spa.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about
self-care.
I'm talking about really and really how you can practice the best self-care is go to the one who created you. Lord, what do I need?
What do I need?
I don't even know what I need.
I really don't.
I know I need something, but I don't know what I need. Lord, help me.
When I'm really like dependent and I really get to that point, sometimes it's like every moment. Like I was like, I mean, people don't even realize. I pray like, okay, God, what am I supposed to ask Dr. McGill tonight?
Exactly.
I don't even know.
Hey, I prayed about what am I supposed to respond? How am I supposed to respond?
What do I say? What do I do?
Yeah.
You know, it's and I love it. It's like when we can become totally dependent.
That's
I love
it.
The fact that you said, and you have been so encouraging to me tonight.
Praise
God. Thank you.
Yes.
When you said, what do you want me to do? I mean, and it's okay if on January 1st,
you don't
have a 5-point plan, goals. I had to learn how to not fall into that trap. And I've always been like that. I'm okay being okay with that. Like, I'm just not the, and I got 5,000 goals and I'm going to do this. But that's just not me.
Yeah.
And so I'm free in that.
Yeah.
But some people get so caught up in that.
That was me.
I could see you writing goals and all this stuff. And I'm a former teacher.
I was a Franklin Planner queen. Remember the Franklin Planner? Back in the day?
That.
Okay,
no.
That was bad. I'm dating myself now. But you would have A, B's, and C's.
Wow.
And you know, that was priority.
Yeah.
And I had to get all my A's done. I would be like totally exhausted, but I'm getting this list done.
Wow. So if you're listening and you have not you know, made your planner for since January and all your goals. And
you're good, girl.
You're okay.
You're
just
good.
Lay with your lay in front of your father on the altar and
wait
just ask
it.
Him what is important. Because
yes.
You might have 10 things on there.
Priority.
And he might tell you to do two.
And let me say this real quick, mm-hmm. because the Lord did tell me that three P's, prayer,
mm-hmm.
priorities,
mm.
and purpose.
So good.
Because when you pray, that's when you get your priorities.
Mm.
And when you have your priorities, that determines your purpose.
So good.
And so we have to focus on those three things.
So good.
Because that's how our days should be driven.
So good.
Not by what we want, but what he wants for us.
Oh, wow. Because he knows best.
He knows best.
Let's give away this book real quick. Thank you. I don't want to tell I'm going to try not to tell the name of the book. First person that can put the name of the book in the chat box. First person that can put the name of the book in the chat box. It is yours. Let's see who's going to get this. First person to put the name of the book in the chat box. Let's go.
Chat.
Let's go.
We're not going to help them out. See, that's my pastor's heart right there.
I know, but I said it several times. What's the name of her book? Oh, Yana Rhines. Do you know somebody
named? That's my sister.
Oh.
You can't do that.
Okay, you can't do that. Somebody else. Put the name. Okay, Kiami Merritt. Is that somebody?
Yes, I know her too. But
okay. Does she have it?
I don't know if she does.
Kiami, do you have it? Yes or no? Oh, man, everybody's tossing it now. She said she'll give it away.
Okay, good.
Or the second one was Kiami Merritt. I don't know if Kiami Merritt has it. Okay. She said she doesn't.
Okay, great.
Okay, good job, Kiami. We're
going
to need you to. You know her, though, so can you hand it to her? Or is it?
I will get it to her.
Okay, she said she'll get it to you. Awesome. Well, thank you, Dr. McGill, for being on.
I am so honored that you would invite me. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I'm just so blessed to know you, and we will definitely stay connected.
Let's have you back.
Any way
sure.
I can serve your audience,
awesome.
I would be honored to do it.
Let's have you back for sure.
Anytime.
You have so much wisdom,
oh.
and I sure appreciate it. I feel like I am so lifted today.
Oh.
As a mom, as a wife, I needed this.
Well, iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
So thank you.
All right, guys, that's our show for today. Tune in next Tuesday, same time, same place. We'll have another special guest. You do not want to miss Focus with Angela Duncan. If this show has been a blessing to you, go to fbrn.us. You can scroll down to the bottom and donate. The money goes straight to the show to keep us on the air. It does not go in my pocket. I'd appreciate it. If you are blessed, go to the show, fbrn.us, and support the show. Have a good day. We will see you next week. Be blessed.